It's a British icon, but potentially not for much longer. BMW warned Tuesday it could move production of Mini cars out of the UK if Brexit goes badly. The head of the Mini brand says it has to at least consider relocating. Any move would hit the firm's plant in Oxford, southern England. Production of engines could also be moved to Austria.
Reports emerged Tuesday North Korea has restored parts of a missile site, one it had promised U.S. President Donald Trump it would dismantle. Two U.S. think tanks and South Korean media say the North has begun to again build up the Sohae satellite launching station. Analysts at 38 North, a top North Korea-focused group in Washington, say satellite images show structures on the site's launch pad had been rebuilt between February 16th and March 2nd. Those dates may have placed it in the run-up to Trump's second summit with leader Kim Jong-un in Hanoi.
French President Emmanuel Macron is reaching out directly to voters, not just in France, but in every single European Union country, with newspaper columns laying out his vision for a more unified and assertive EU ahead of the bloc's parliamentary elections in May, and one shielded from nationalist factions and pressures from other world powers.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday. It is March the 6th, 5:11 in the morning. Thank you for tuning in again for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. Lots to cover this morning. We'll get to some of the market numbers here momentarily. And business news headlines coming up today on the program. We will have Airbnb with us to talk about tax revenue and whether or not they're a competitor or maybe even complement. Is complementer a word? I don't know. Complementary, that's the word I'm looking for, to the hotel industry in Illinois. Some new tax numbers are available. And we'll focus on that in our first segment this morning. Sometimes it's hard to formulate words this early in the morning. And a little bit later in the program here in the Opening Bell, a new segment that we're going to call Building Business Around Town, featuring today the president and CEO of Smash Hotels. That'll be coming up at about 5:40 this morning. But first, let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk with futures pointing toward a negative open on Wall Street a little bit later this morning. Dow futures are down 48 points. That's nearly a quarter of a percent. S&P and NASDAQ futures are off a fraction as well. In Europe, markets are mixed, with the London markets up just a fraction, in Germany down nearly a quarter percent, and in France up down nearly a quarter percent as well. In Asia, the Nikkei is going to finish the day down about a half a percent, nearly 129 points. The Hang Seng and the Shanghai are higher, the Shanghai by nearly a percent and a half. And oil is trading at $55.99 a barrel in the U.S., down about 57 cents or 1%. Some headlines this morning in the world of business. ADP private payrolls report is out for February today. We'll get a snapshot of the job market ahead of the full jobs report on Friday. That could move the markets today. Also, we're learning today that Apple will reportedly now fix iPhones, even if they have unauthorized third-party batteries. The move is a big change for the tech giant, which until now had refused to repair any phone with an unauthorized battery. The company has not commented on the change, first reported by the news site iGeneration. JPMorgan Chase says it will no longer finance the private prison industry. Spokesperson for the nation's largest bank says the decision was made after a cost-benefit analysis. Private prisons make up around 10% of federal and state detention facilities. They have been the subject of protest by people angered over the Trump administration's immigration policies. President Obama ordered the federal government to phase out the use of private prisons in 2016, an order rescinded by President Trump just a few months after he took office. The controversial leader of Papa John's will resign from its board of directors. John Schnatter will resign after an independent director is appointed, according to an agreement. He walked away from his job as the company's CEO 2 years ago after using a racial slur during a call with a marketing company. He stepped down as chairman of the company's board a few months later. Front and center this morning, the latest statewide data suggests Airbnb is complementing and not competing with the Illinois hotel industry. Airbnb is with us this morning to share the numbers. We're happy to have back with us Ben Bright, the head of communications at Airbnb. Ben, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Hey, it's happy morning, Steve.
Let's talk about the numbers. First, I know this had been, let's lay a little bit of groundwork. There has been concern in the hospitality industry, the hotel industry specifically, that Airbnb might be encroaching on their territory. What do these numbers tell us?
As we look broadly, whether it's in Illinois or throughout the United States, hotels are doing better than ever. And, as we've discussed before, Airbnb continues to grow. So it seems like the two industries are really growing in parallel. And we really think that's positive, right? There's room for everyone. Whether you look at rural Illinois, where there are no hotels, but, people maybe with an extra room can partake in the tourism industry, welcome guests. A place like Champaign, college towns, where hotels obviously sell out during commencement weekend. There's nowhere else to go. So folks are staying in Airbnb listings. Or here in Chicago, places like the South Side, the West Side, where, which really are hotel deserts, but now are actually, I think as we've discussed before, that's actually the fastest growing area of Chicago for Airbnb. So there does seem to be room for everyone. And I think another reason the hotel industry is hopefully, content with everything that's happening is that we're paying the same taxes that they are. For all intents and purposes, the same taxes that apply to hotels also apply to home sharing, short-term rentals, Airbnb. The issue is these taxes were designed with hotel accountants in mind, not necessarily for regular folks. And if you're a host, an Airbnb host in Chicago, you have to be worrying about five taxes to three different taxing agencies, the state, the county, and the city. So it's just really complicated stuff. And we know a lot of hosts maybe don't know the taxes exist, or can they figure it out? That is sort of the challenge. So a few years ago, and this really started at the behest of local governments, who were saying, look, we know that hosts can't figure this out. Can we find a simpler way so that we can get our revenue? And hotels were saying, look, we want everyone to be paying the same taxes, and we'll be essentially happy at that point. So we came up at Airbnb with these tax agreements, these partnerships with local governments that authorize Airbnb to actually take over the taxes, to collect on behalf of the hosts and remit directly to the local governments. In Illinois, the state of Illinois was actually one of the very first that we were able to partner with. And this last year, we were able to remit nearly $13 million in tax revenue to the state of Illinois. That's up from about $9 million in 2017. So we're pretty happy about that. Hopefully the state is as well. And frankly, hopefully the hotel industry is as well.
Yeah, and there's a couple of things I want to unpack from that. And first is the number itself, 12.7 million, almost 13 million in tax revenue. How does that compare with the hotel industry? And do those numbers give you sort of this jumping off point that we began with, and that is that you're complementing, not competing with the hotel industry? I'm guessing that their tax revenue is quite a bit more significant.
Oh, yeah. We're still the little guy here. I mean, the hotel industry is very much still the king, whether it's in Chicago or throughout Illinois. So I don't know exactly what their total was, but I'm guessing it's over $100 million.
Right.
We're still a small fraction of the business that they get. And that's okay, because again, we just want to support the overall hospitality industry in Illinois. Hotels continue to grow. They have their niche. We have ours. There is room for everyone. At the end of the day, the state of Illinois, the Illinois Department of Revenue, obviously an agency that is looking for every dollar of revenue that it can get, given the financial state of Illinois, unfortunately. Hopefully they're happy that everyone seems to be growing.
Yeah, and the taking over of the taxing part of this, at least the doing the grunt work on this, that sort of ensures that the taxes are being collected, does it not?
It does. Again, if you're a Chicago host, three different taxing agencies that do things very differently on different timelines, it's just not something that was designed with a regular person, a regular homeowner in mind. It was something designed decades ago with hotels and their accountants in mind. So yeah, again, we We know that many hosts don't know the taxes exist. If they do exist, can they figure out how to actually collect it, when to collect it, who does it go to? Usually the answer is no. We're just realistic about that. So that's why Illinois was one of the very first where we had one of these tax partnerships, but it's now up to about 400 in the U.S. So what Illinois did really started a trend.
Talking this morning about Airbnb's latest tax bill to the state of Illinois, $13 million collected in tax revenue in 2018. Ben, I know when some of these taxes were put in place, there were all kinds of concerns in your industry about whether or not they would stifle innovation and hurt business. Has that come to fruition? How would you describe what's been happening?
Not really. When our company was first founded 10 years ago, taxes wasn't really something that I think our founders were thinking about, right? I mean, these guys were just, running out air beds on, on their floors, right? So they weren't necessarily thinking ahead to, millions of listings, millions of users, and the types of taxes that hotels pay. But as the company got bigger, I think everyone realized that this is something we need to be thinking about. And some of the arguments, frankly, that the hotel industry was making, but and the request coming from local government for, just paying the same taxes that hotels pay, was reasonable. So that's why we developed these tax agreements that make it very easy for us to allow our hosts to pay their fair share. And no, it really hasn't stifled the growth of Airbnb. We've continued to grow by leaps and bounds, even as, I think if you look technically, the prices go up a bit if you're assessing the taxes, but we just think that that's fair. It's doing right by local governments. It actually reduces the barrier to hosting if you're in the state of Illinois and you know that if you sign up to host that we're going to be taking care of the taxes for you. You don't have to worry about, trying to write that check every month and figure out what you owe and who it goes to. It actually makes it easier to take that leap and start sharing your home. So it's actually been good for us.
Yeah, and the footprint in Illinois, talk to us a little bit about the stats, Illinois owners and how many people are taking part in this and kind of what they earn, because the footprint in Illinois sort of bears what you've just set out, is that it's Airbnb is pretty strong in Illinois.
It is, yeah. So hosts in Illinois earned well over $110 million last year in combined income. So obviously Chicago is our biggest market, but we're seeing tremendous growth really in the college towns, Champaign and Illinois being the most potent example, Champaign and Urbana, I'm sorry, where, even though the football team hasn't been good, those are still big weekends where hotels sell out, and certainly commencement weekend. So that's a really good example of how the home sharing community can really complement what hotels do there, where they're sold out. People need to come to see their kids who are graduating. They're coming either way. Do we want them staying in Champaign County or not? Or have be forced to make a day trip? So having the home sharing community there has been helpful. Springfield, where we see huge surges during legislative session or the university there. We're seeing tremendous growth in some of the suburbs in Cook County. Evanston is a huge market, again, with the university there. But also we're seeing people just making trips. Evanston's beautiful, right? Same with Oak Park. Galena, a huge market for us. So obviously Chicago is the king. That's one of our biggest markets in the world, some of the more rural territories, some of the college towns, some of the suburbs are actually where we're seeing our fastest growth.
The last time I think you were in on the opening bell to talk to us, we were speaking about the Airbnb experiences, the new effort that was launching, where folks not only rent out a place, but also sort of share their passions with people. Is that helping sort of fuel this growth in Illinois?
I think so. It's really growing quickly in Chicago. Chicago is one of the launch markets of experiences. So Chicago is one of the cities where we were sort of experimenting and seeing what works, what doesn't. Experiences is a platform that's actually growing faster now than our homes product, what people typically know as Airbnb, was at the same time about 8 years ago. So it's growing quickly in Chicago. And what's great is that experiences is now open throughout the entire state. So if you live in central Illinois or southern Illinois, or any of the suburbs out here, and there's some sort of passion, some sort of activity or tour that you want to get in touch with us about and offer to guests and make a little money, no matter where you live, we're taking applications and we're starting to see experiences pop up in towns that maybe people would be surprised about.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, Ben, but this has been a generally happy conversation about taxes this morning.
I know. Usually not the case, yeah. But it's something that we're passionate about. And look, when we have happy local governments who are getting new revenue, they wouldn't be getting otherwise. We have happy hosts. That's really good for us. So we got happy campers at Airbnb.
Ben, we appreciate you being with us this morning. Please come back anytime. You're welcome here anytime.
You got it.
All right. Ben Bright from Airbnb this morning. $12.7 million in tax revenue in Illinois in 2018. We'll post some of these numbers in the podcast of the Opening Bell a little bit later on this morning.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Wednesday edition of the Opening Bell. We're kicking off a new segment today called Building Business Around Town with Associated Bank, where WGN's Bennett Wakenight focuses on Illinois-based companies that may or may not be on your radar screens, but are still making waves in their various industries. This month, Bennett sat down with Scott Greenberg, president and CEO of Smash Hotels, at his latest condo and rental development in Lincolnshire, called 444 Social.
Scott, thank you so much for having us here today at 444 Social.
Bennett, thank you so much for coming.
Absolutely. So we're here at 444 Social, a beautiful, beautiful space, recently opened up. So start us off as to where this all started, this idea, and how it all came to life.
Well, this is 444 Social is a unique place because it comes out of sort of being informed by a hotel background, which I run a number of lifestyle hotels in downtown Chicago, built them and operate them, and also my experience out of residential, but informed by high-end condo living. So in essence, 444 Social, being in the suburbs and very accessible via pedestrian to restaurants, shopping, being able to work, it's also a place where living here is sort of an amalgam of being informed by a resort hotel boutique experience, right, with the kind of finishes and feeling in the apartments of a condominium, and that makes it quite unusual and frankly different than any other apartment community that's been built in Chicago suburbs thus far.
Right. I mean, the uniqueness of it, just walking in the front doors, it blows you away. You immediately tell yourself and you feel that this isn't a typical condo building or apartment building or, heck, even a boutique hotel. And you're not in Chicago. You're out in the suburbs. You're in Lincolnshire.
For the last 10 years, you've heard a lot of migration of companies into the city. Right. And admittedly, and so a lot of they wanted to follow where millennials want to live. But if you really look at the numbers, you'll find out that there's probably five times as many jobs in the suburbs than ever will be in the city. And we're within walking distance here, 10 minutes of Aon, Sysmex, Zebra, and a half a dozen other technology and big companies. They can walk to it from this location. And like in the city, you guys are spoiled in the city. You can walk to various restaurants. But here in this development, it's 5 minutes. You can walk to 10 different eateries. You can go across 2 minutes to a movie theater. So you have all those conveniences that you enjoy in the city right here in the suburbs. Plus, you get to walk to work. Plus, you have views of lakes and forests. Again, something you don't get in the city.
Right.
There you go.
Well, we're lacking on that side.
Exactly.
Of it, so. But this whole idea about innovation and
right,
kind of flipping the script, was it that the project started and the innovation followed, or was the innovation what spurred the project and 444 Social came out of it?
So, well, innovation has been what my whole experience has been in development for the past 20, 30 years now. I've always continued to sort of be ahead of the curve, and that's my brand, is innovation. And so when I came into doing an apartment project, I wanted to up the game more than other people have done. So when I get involved in a project, my company, that is our brand. That's one of the things we do with Smash Companies, is we change the equation and do something before other people. The thing that that sort of enables me to do something as daring as something like 444 Social, which it is from a multifamily point of view, is, you know, years ago, 15 years ago, I was doing apartments in Orlando. I was doing partners in Florida. I was doing apartments in Colorado. But then I sort of evolved out of doing rental apartments and got into more hotels, lifestyle hotels. I'm responsible for the Witt Hotel in Chicago, Hotel EMC2, and several other hotels here in Chicago in the lifestyle segment. So it comes from a different point of view.
Right.
And that's the change-up that's happened here, which I think has made it different than anything else in the Chicago suburbs. And I don't think there's really anything like it in the city of Chicago. I like to tell people that everybody wants to be happy.
Right.
They want to live healthy. They want to live active. And that the formula for that, I believe, part of the formula is being social. And so out of that cauldron, the 444 Social experience was created.
Gotcha. So, Scott, with this size of a development, this project, this innovative vision that, you know, has come to be 444 Social, there's a lot of trust that comes with it. There's a lot of there must be a ton of different challenges. So talk about some of those challenges, but also some of the players that helped you come through and, you know, overcome a lot of those challenges to have this wonderful project.
You're right. This is, you know, this is a very, very large project. It's a multi-million dollar project. It, frankly, because of the design, because of the way we built the buildings to create this, you know, we were stretching what normally developers, we'll call them the cookie cutter or corporate developers, and how they would go about doing that. And there was other features about this, because I'm redeveloping a movie theater, I'm redeveloping a lot. You know, you need a banking relationship that really has the trust to let you go out and do something like this. You know, I'm fortunate. I've worked with Associated Bank for a number of years. And the people over there, again, it's the developer has to trust them to be able to, because every, believe it or not, in this business, it doesn't go perfect.
Right.
Okay.
I can
just
imagine.
Doesn't go perfect. Right. And it takes a village to do something like this. And your village partner on this is a bank, and they can see you through this, through the issues, and know that you're going to get there. And then finally, the time that I was getting this project, you know, approved through the village and get this going. It was several years ago, and the lending environment wasn't necessarily so friendly for apartments.
Right.
So that aspect of it, you know, you need a bank. Again, I have to applaud Associated Bank here, because they were steady, they were committed, and they saw this thing through. I think now they're very pleased with the outcome. We just started opening this up about, you know, it's been like 45 days, so it's still brand new, a lot of units. But the banking relationships are key, and you cannot, there's no money that you can spend to make that possible unless you have that trust. That is the key.
Right. That's a vital part. And touching on that as well, from the beginning all the way to the point of when you open the doors, now that the doors are open, how has that relationship kind of grown into that next stage? How has that, you know, built itself up into where you are now and with everything with 444?
Well, you know, in some ways, the easy part is now, because now the building's filling up. Associated Books looks around, it looks beautiful. Other lending partners look around, they go, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah.
It now is the easy part. The hard part is when the developer's saying, well, I'm going to tear this down, I'm going to reconfigure the streets, we're going to do this issue with the land, and we're going to do this in a different way than it's ever been. And a lot of bankers are going, huh?
So
that's when you need the bank, not when everything is perfect.
Right.
You need it at the beginning when they see your vision.
So, and you touched on this a little bit beforehand about your real estate experience into the other side of the market, you know, the hotel, the hospitality, that side as well. That's been a huge core into what this has become, its 444 Social. But we're also going to kind of tap into that a little bit later on in the year, in another one of these videos a little bit later on. We're also going to see a little bit more of that as well. So what's kind of on at the top of the mind when it comes to the hotel and the hospitality side of Smash?
So you know, what is to come is that I've sort of been on the cutting edge of creating experiences for people. When you go to a hotel today, it's not enough just a bed, and it's not a chocolate against a bed. It's for a millennial or somebody older, they want a immersive experience, and they want, and to some extent, it's a little bit of a fantasy. They're not going to live that way every day.
Right.
So what I've been, again, on the cutting edge of is creating immersive 360-degree experiences that people walk away from and say, wow, that was really great.
Yeah.
It made me, it's somewhat transformative for me when being there, and I want to come back the next time I come to Chicago.
Yeah.
So that's what I'll tell you a little about soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And as we wrap up here, you can definitely get that feel about that boutique, that hotel, the hospitality, and the experience. It's been wonderful being here, and thank you very much.
Well, Bennett, thank you for coming out. It's always exciting for me to talk about 444 Social.
That's Scott Greenberg, President and CEO of Smash Hotels, with Bennett Wakenight from WGN. It's Building Business Around Town with Associated Bank, a regular monthly feature here on The Opening Bell.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market, Dow futures are pointing toward a weak open on Wall Street. Dow, NASDAQ, S&P futures all off a fraction to a quarter of a percent. Now, agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Talking to you this morning from Washington, D.C., where it was an interesting night at the annual gathering of the Council for Agricultural Research, Extension, and Teaching, known as CARET, and the Association of Public and Land-Grant Universities. Had the opportunity to visit with many deans of agriculture at colleges, land-grant across the nation. Also, we'll be returning to the Midwest later today, and looking ahead, I do want to give mention to the annual event for 37 years at Sublette, Illinois. It's the Sublette Toy Show. We'll talk more about it, but it's on the calendar for March 16 and 17. Orion Samuelson wishing you a great day, checking in from Washington, D.C.
All right. Thanks, Orion. One other story before we leave you this morning. The Food and Drug Administration has approved a ketamine derivative nasal spray to treat depression. Medication is called esketamine, and it was developed by Johnson & Johnson's subsidiary, Janssen Pharmaceutical. Esketamine is now being used for patients who have treatment-resistant depression or patients who don't respond well to at least two other medications. The FDA made the announcement yesterday. Ketamine, which is commonly known as the street drug Special K, has been used as an anesthetic for decades. It has been used experimentally to treat depression since the late 1990s and was previously administered with an IV. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Wednesday, March the 6th. The ADP Private Payrolls Jobs Report for February leads off today. Analysts expect to see 180,000 private sector jobs created last month, 33,000 fewer than in January. The report will be out mid-morning, along with December's international trade figures. The experts forecast the nation's trade deficit grew to $57.6 billion in December. That's up more than $8 billion from November. Also on the calendar today, we'll get the EIA Petroleum Status Report. A couple of Fed speakers out there as well, including Loretta Mester, John Williams. Also, the Mortgage Bankers Association has mortgage applications, and we'll get the Beige Book from the Federal Reserve. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Wednesday, March the 6th.